So these are some pretty serious allegations, as I did say. What is your take on this whole situation?
Look, I think for this case, it's a matter of remoteness. You can't provide services cheaply in remote areas. So the area in the Northern Territory where the NDIS was trialled for Indigenous remote communities was Barkly Regional Council, and this council area is about a third bigger than the entire United Kingdom, but only has about 8,000 people spread across a wide range of isolated communities. So with that wide range of isolation, it's really difficult to provide services at a price that you might give to people in Sydney or Melbourne, for example.
So obviously, I mean, as you said, isolation does come into it. Do you think that this is mostly the issue, or does perhaps it spring from, I guess, a larger trend of issues with infrastructure in the Northern Territory?
Well, I think remoteness and infrastructure are directly related to that. So if you look at the Northern Territory and remote communities, a large number have very limited infrastructure in terms of economic infrastructure. So most remote communities in the northern end of the Northern Territory don't actually have all-weather roads, so they only have dirt roads, which means that in the wet season, they're virtually inaccessible for a lot of the time, meaning that the only means of transport is charter flights, which are very expensive. Now, if you're a service provider looking to provide services in the community at market value, that's understandably going to put your price up if you're having to spend these large amounts of money to get out to these remote communities. And most of these communities that are affected by this are small communities of 100 people, 200 people that might be 4 hours drive or an hour's charter flight from a major city. So they're not really in a position to have established services there. So providers are going to have to travel there to give those services.
And so obviously it's, you know, there's no easy solution to this, but is there any, I guess, examples of perhaps other situations where something like this has happened that we can look to for inspiration?
Yes, there's a lot happening in the Indigenous space at the moment based around Indigenous self-design of programs. So a lot of programs for Indigenous people over the years have been applied on a mass scale without consultation of Indigenous people and what they actually want and need. And that's led to a lot of waste of money. However, recently in the last year or two, the government and service providers have looked to engage Indigenous people a bit more when they're designing these programs. So therefore, you know what a specific community or individual wants and needs, and therefore provide that instead of providing a larger service that could lead to waste.
Would you have to do that for each, I guess, individual remote community, or would you have, I suppose, representatives from different communities and create a holistic approach for that situation?
Look, I think with remote communities and disability in particular, it's extremely difficult because you have highly specific needs of individual people. It might work more specifically in communities with perhaps a reading program or an employment program where it's more applicable to a wide range of people. But in terms of disability, it's going to be very difficult to provide care that is cost-effective when the needs are so individually based.
And so just before I do let you go, Charlie, I guess stepping, I suppose, a little bit out of remote communities and into the Northern Territory as a whole, are there any sorts of changes that we can make to address these issues of disability care that, I guess, are not going to take, you know, 5-10 years to sort of take effect?
Yes, I think once again it goes back to that model of self-design. So in city areas, it's definitely going to be feasible. You've got enough service providers that can offer what a patient wants and needs, particularly in terms of Indigenous culture. We need to look at those cultural barriers that might occur in service provisions. But when you get to those remote areas, it's going to be very difficult to have that self-design, and that's going to be a work in progress that could take a number of years.
Well, Charlie, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Tess.